Today we're going to talk about infectious diseases, in particular one called whooping cough. There's been a lot of focus on COVID, of course, as being very infectious, but there's a number of other infectious diseases about, and whooping cough is one of them. How common is it, Colin?
Yeah, well, there's about 12 in 2019, I guess, which is the last full year of statistics we have. There were about 12,000 cases, and we find that every 3 or 4 years there's an outbreak or an epidemic occurs in Australia, and it's because it's highly contagious. So if an outbreak occurs, it can spread quite quickly. It can be a serious illness, but it can be deadly for babies, which is part of the reason that the vaccination is important. Also, some people can get it and have no symptoms, but then can still spread it onto other members of their family, which is a scenario we're all fairly familiar with COVID at the moment. But so I guess the solution is to be vaccinated against whooping cough, especially if you're going to be near a newborn baby, so that the chance of spreading it is reduced.
It's quite timely. I was watching a movie over the weekend set in the 1940s where a young child had whooping cough and there wasn't much they could do for them back in those days. Thank goodness we got a vaccine. But I guess everyone's awareness about infectious diseases has really been ramped up over the last 12 months, what we've learnt through COVID.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess whooping cough in some ways is difficult. Similar to COVID because it's spread from person to person through sort of droplets in the air containing the bacteria. So those droplets can be created by either coughing or sneezing, and you can get infected for, you know, the same forms of close contact with an infected person, like, you know, close contact, kissing, sharing food, those sorts of things. Aside from COVID, whooping cough is actually one of the most contagious viral diseases in the world. And if you introduce a whooping cough into a household, the non-immune members of the household have a 90% chance of actually getting that infection. So it does spread really easily.
So what are the symptoms, given that it's called whooping cough? And imagine the cough's part of it. And how can you tell it from, you know, just a bad cold?
Yeah, well, I guess it does start as a bad cold, you know, just with a runny nose and a bit of a fever, and then the cough comes. But the coughing tends to get worse and worse. And then there's quite serious, severe bouts of uncontrollable coughs that can be followed up to the point where people are vomiting or choking or actually having to take this great big gasp of air between coughs, and that sort of makes the whooping sound from where the whooping sound that the name comes from as well. And that cough can last for quite a number of weeks. Tends to be worse at night when the person's lying down as well. And I guess also getting back to babies, whooping cough can really cause problems with their feeding, cause problems with their breathing, and in some cases can lead to death because of that.
All those symptoms you mentioned are a lot like colds and flus and even COVID, so how can we tell the difference?
Yeah, well, I guess if you do have those symptoms at the moment, as we all know, you should go and get a COVID test.
Get tested, yeah.
That. The whooping cough does have, I guess, a few distinctive traits, and they're sort of... after the first 1 to 2 weeks, that cough is really, I guess, the difference, and the coughing fits become quite continual and quite exhausting for the people. In some circles, it's known as the 100-day cough because it goes on for such a long time. And you hear people that gasping for breath that I mentioned, which I guess is quite distinct from whooping cough. It's not always that, but that's an indication that it may be. And, you know, the difficulty in breathing, most normal coughs don't get to that stage. Plus, some people even turn blue while they're coughing because they don't get enough oxygen. It can be quite severe if it gets left without being treated.
Recently, we've seen insistence by parents that people coming in contact with their babies should be vaccinated. My third grandchild, I'm not sure now, but my son wouldn't let me visit unless I'd been vaccinated. So is there anyone else besides young kids and babies that are vulnerable?
Well, yeah, sure. And the scenario you described is very common, that, the whole family generally does get vaccinated now to try and reduce that risk. Certainly anyone can get whooping cough. It's most dangerous to babies because it can be deadly because of the breathing difficulties that can occur. But it's actually more common in adolescents than adults, but the symptoms aren't necessarily bad. And as I mentioned at the start, some people don't actually get symptoms at all. The babies are at increased risk until they've had their vaccinations, and they start at 2 months, and then there's a set of three that they have to have before the immunisation is complete. There are other people who, due to their age or their medical condition, that are increased risk as well. People with asthma or COPD, as you'd imagine, with breathing difficulties, are more at risk. People who are healthcare professional childcare workers who come in contact with it more often are certainly more at risk. Older people tend to be people who smoke, and I guess any other complications to do with breathing. I guess another thing about this is also having the disease doesn't necessarily give you lifelong immunity like it does with some infectious things. Generally about 10 years if you've had the disease, or even if you've had the vaccination, over 10 years your immunity tends to wane. So you become susceptible after that period of time as well.
That's quite interesting given that it's something we normally associate with young children. So we've spoken about a vaccine that can stop you from getting it, but if you've already got it and you haven't been vaccinated, what sort of treatments are available, Colin?
Yeah, there are some antibiotics which the doctor will prescribe to actually treat it in the early stages, and that helps to reduce some of the symptoms, but it also helps to stop the infection to other people. And we all know about close contacts these days. Well, quite often if someone in the family has whooping cough, then the other people in the family will also have antibiotics as a preventative thing from trying to spread it any further. Some children, particularly babies, if they get it, may need treatment in hospital, because sometimes in intensive care, because they may need assistance with their breathing. And if you're not treated early enough with the right antibiotics, you spread it to other people as we've gone on to. So, and as I mentioned before, the cough can go on for quite a few weeks. You can use cough suppressants sometimes, but they tend not to be that effective. So antibiotics, essentially, are the primary treatment for whooping cough.
We've seen with COVID how easily things can spread, and you've mentioned a vaccine. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, certainly the vaccination is the best way to protect yourself and those around you from getting it. The pertussis vaccination, as it's called, it's usually linked with diphtheria and also tetanus. So the tetanus is usually a good thing to have as well. But there's a vaccine of three that you would normally get, and it's part of the National Immunisation Program for some of the at-risk groups that I mentioned before. So those people are vaccinated free and charge, and they include the babies and young children, essentially from around 6 weeks of age, 4 months and 6 months. And then there's older children get a booster dose later on as well. Also, pregnant women are given it under the National Immunisation Program as well. Other people who should get, I guess, consider getting a booster dose, especially if you haven't had one in the last, 10 years, or in memory, you're not able to actually pinpoint when it was. People living in the same house or caring for babies other than the parents, so grandparents, cousins, those sorts of things will be visiting. Childcare workers and healthcare workers, as I mentioned before, should be having it every 10 years to make sure that they don't become carriers for whooping cough amongst, the cohort of people that they're actually working with. And I guess, the vaccination, whilst it's free for some people, it's readily available at the moment, unlike the COVID one. But, you can get it by going to see a doctor and getting a prescription, and the doctor can vaccinate you, or pharmacies can now vaccinate against whooping cough when you don't actually need a prescription for. You can just make an appointment at your pharmacy and they can vaccinate you there.
Yeah, the parallels between this and COVID are a little bit scary, aren't they? But vaccination is the key, as you've said, and also, it can be fatal with young children, as we know, so why wouldn't you not get it, to be honest?
Yeah, well, I guess also, it's in the same principle. It can protecting the people who can't protect themselves necessarily. So babies aren't able to have the vaccination and their immune system isn't developed enough when they're young. So by everyone else not actually exposing it to them, we can actually protect them from getting it for what could be quite a dangerous and disease for them.
And as always, with many discussions we have, Colin, if you've got any doubt, talk to your GP or your pharmacist. Thank you very much for that today. As always, we'll catch up with you again next week.
No worries, Martin. Thanks very much.